But it needs to be about Jesus. And if you keep your focus on Him, you will not be wrong. You will not be led in a different path. I cannot tell you how many times people sit in these meetings and they get stirred up and then they go after their ambitions to start a ministry. It's really not about starting a ministry. You think I got to the place I was by starting a ministry? Give me a Pentecostal break. That's not how I got here. I got here because I got hungry and desperate for God. When I led worship in my trailer. In my one little bedroom that my mom lived in with me because I was an only child raised up. And I had just enough room for my bed. And that was it. It was a small trailer, 60 foot long. You could basically vacuum, go to the bathroom and wash dishes without leaving your bedroom. It was pretty cool. But I learned how to worship God in that little bedroom. I had just enough room for my keyboard. And for hours into the night, I would tell Him how much I love Him. I would tell Him how much I worship Him. I would tell Him how much I was in love with Him. And I also told Him how much my life stunk. You know you can talk to God that way? There was one night in my life, age 19... And I'm standing outside of my apartment in Vestal, New York. I've been through the church and I got to the place where I was tired of the church and I was tired of the world. And I said, God, I've got to have You or You can take me out. I remember screaming to the top of my lungs, God! Somebody says, you don't have to shout. God's not deaf. Yeah, we ain't nervous either. I said, God! I said, I need You to change me! I'm tired of the church. I'm tired of the world. If You don't touch me, then You can take me out of this earth, hit me with a plane, hit me with lightning, have a bear come and eat me. Well, don't have a bear come and eat me because that would really hurt. Let's go ahead and have electricity hit me or something. It'll be quick. And about that time, lightning hits all across there. And I'm like, You missed! I was desperate for God. One guy's like, shut up. I'm like, you don't want to mess with me right now. And I cried out to God. And you know, some people that says, why do you have to be so loud? Because you know something? In every single person, there's something that's stirring and brewing on the inside of you. Good or bad. And guess what? Both need to come out. Unfortunately, the older generation is growing up. They were told to suppress their emotions. Don't show people that you can cry in public. Don't show people that you're happy. Just be normal like everybody else. A couple of you had the same thought I did. What's normal? God wants you to be who you're called to be tonight. And there's something on the inside of you that's been crying out. Because tonight when you go back to your bedroom, tonight when you go back to your house, or your flat, that's word number three. You're going to lay on that bed and you're going to look up at the ceiling. And some of you are going to cry tonight like you've done the last couple nights. Saying, God, I don't know if I can endure this any much longer. And you know what? God loves to hear those prayers. God loves to hear the actual real cry of your heart instead of this. I mean, do you pray like this? Oh God, we come before You this day. If You would be so humble as to come down, I'd be so happy to oblige. You are the God of heaven and earth and everything else above and beyond. Thank You. I mean, I don't talk to my wife that, hello, Melanie, I love thee. Let me count the ways. I love thee. You don't talk like that. Sometimes you're going to go, hey, this sucks. That's probably a really bad word in England. I'm going to take that word off. Because it's better to be real than it is to hide everything on the inside. Do you know the more you suppress, I'm coming down. The more you suppress on the inside of you, the longer it will be for you to get your breakthrough and your victory in your life. You have to be who you're called to be. You can't be anybody else. You can't be Brian Houston from Hillsong Church, who's a great guy.
Hello, I'm Brian Houston from Hillsong Church. Tonight, we're going to be reading all the book of Psalms as it says, under the shadow of the Almighty, I shall abide. But first, let's go to Darlene, check on the worship team as she sings, Oh My God.
You can't be him. You have to be you. I had a lot of people come to me, you remind me of Linda Cooley. He's a good friend of mine, but I'm not him. Hopefully you walked away thinking, man, I love Jesus. I have a very good friend of mine, and I'm not really a name dropper, Rodney Howard Brown. And when I say this, he's a very close friend of mine. He's the one that I was in a meeting 3 years ago and said there's a great awakening coming to America. And my wife sat on that front seat and went, woo! I saw one person was like, the fire of God went right through me and I felt it in my bones. That God wanted to send another great awakening to America. There's always a generation that takes God's word and does something with it. I want to be a part of that generation. Who else wants to be a part of the generation? You have to cry out for it. You have to believe that God's going to do it inside of you. It's not just motivational speaking. I'm tired of motivational speaking. I was really moved to a nap when the last guy spoke. I want to be challenged. And Pastor Rodney challenged me. I felt the fire of God. How many have been in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting before in your life? He came to Westminster Chapel back in the early 90s, shook the UK. A lot of the meetings took place from there. In 1993, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who has a church today of I think like 2,100, went down to Lakeland Carpenter's church and revival burst out there. They put it on the radio and it went all over the place and people flew from all over the world to Lakeland, Florida in 1993. Over 10,000 people a night some nights. And from there was a man by the name of Randy Clark who came there and was on his last limb in ministry. When I say that, he didn't want to do ministry anymore. He was burnt out. He was tired of doing the same old, and he wanted God to touch him or he was finished. And God touched him. And he came to Pastor Rodney and says, what do I do now? He says, go lay hands on everything that moves. So Randy Clark goes up to Toronto, Canada, lays hands on everything that moves, and revival begins. 1994, Toronto, Canada. And during that time, a man by the name of John Kilpatrick and Steve Hill were also on their last leg in ministry. At least John Kilpatrick was. These are people that I talk to. This isn't something I'm just saying. And John Kilpatrick began to go up to Toronto and he needed the fire of God. He needed to be touched by the fire of God because he had been in ministry for so many years and it was time for things to change again. And he began to let go of his emotions. Because sometimes as a pastor or an evangelist, you try to keep it in because you want the people to see you on the stage and everything's fine with you. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Till you get home. Ah! I'm sorry, I'm in the UK. Oh. We go through the same things. And so he gets so hungry, he presses into God, and all of a sudden Steve Hill comes down to Brownsville, Pensacola, Florida, and poof, 1995, the Brownsville revival begins. Then there's another minister by the name of Steve Gray in 1996. I'm giving you a little chronology here, and I'm going somewhere with this, okay? And Steve Gray comes, he's on his last leg in ministry, and he's about burnout, and he's about done, and he's got to have something changed, because he can't go on the fumes of what he's always known. And he comes to the meeting and people are... I mean, when I came to the Brownsville Revival, I was offended. People were walking around like chickens. I'm going, that's not God. People shaking their head, you know. I never shake, quaked, or baked. So I didn't know if it was God or not. But I knew this. I knew I was sitting there in that church. I thought, why am I here? I just drove 23 and a half hours from New York down to Florida. The presence of God drew me to that place. The same thing with Steve Gray out of Smithton, Missouri. Population 502 people. They don't even have a gas station. They don't even have a Walmart. If you don't have a Walmart, you are not even a town. You're a village with huts. You know what I'm saying? But he came and people are laughing. And they're shaking. And they're going all over the place and they're jumping around. And nothing ministered to him. Nothing. The laughing person didn't minister to him. The jumping person didn't minister to him. And he's there for 3 days. He's like, there's nothing here for me. And then the third night, a man who's a very wealthy man in the Senate has a three-piece suit on and he gets down on his hands and knees and he's crying like a baby before God. And he says, oh God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I just want you to touch me. I'm so hungry for you. And Steve said, he looked at that guy's eyes. He said, that's me. That's what I want. That's me right now. And he came down to the altar and got right with God, went back to Smithton, and boom, the Smithton outpouring began. Thousands came from around the world to come to a revival meeting that took place in a little church in a town of population 502 people. And then after 96, things began to just calm down a little bit. Everybody was doing extended meetings and everything. I don't understand the phenomenon of revivals, but I do understand how God moves when it comes to the heart of man, when it comes to this. When you get desperate enough, and you get hungry enough, and you get passionate enough, and you're at the place where you have the ability to lay down your pride, God will use you and touch you. We're not talking about being somebody of arrogance. We're talking about being people of God. Unfortunately, in this day and age, and I guess it's always been like this, people see somebody with the call of God in their life and they become jealous or they become frantic thinking, oh, they're not serving God. So ask yourself the question tonight, am I serving God? Am I giving my all tonight? Am I a part of the generation that's going to shake the UK? I don't know all the statistics here in the UK, but I know there's some bad stuff going on here in the UK. I know this culture needs to change. And I don't mean the kids need to tuck in their shirts. And I don't also mean that the old people need to be removed. The culture needs to change, that people need to come together and get desperate for God. I won't spend too much time. I'm talking about the Florida outpouring. All I know is this, is that before it began, my wife and I had been traveling for 3 years up and down the east coast of the United States of America from Maine down to Florida. We gave everything we had. We gave up our house. I had a 3-bedroom house, 1-car garage with 2 cars. Had the whole backyard and fenced around for my kids to play in. People knew me in my town in upstate Florida there. I had, you know, accolades of the pastors, and I traveled around and did worship and everything, and everything was fine. I got a paycheck and all that. Everything was fine. But I wasn't. My wife wasn't. We knew there was more. How many know there's more? There is definitely more. And I'd like to say, I was blessed on my way out of the church as the pastors laid hands on me and dumped oil on my head and released me in the grace of God. But see, most people say, we're in transition. Let me just interpret that. I got in a fight with the pastor and we left. It's the truth. Most people, unfortunately, that I've seen that have a real major call in their life don't necessarily get along with everybody. And there's a reason. Jesus didn't get along with everybody. Did he? Well, of course he did. He was Jesus. Then why were they trying to throw him off a cliff? I like him. I wonder if he lost weight to walk through the crowd. Excuse me, come through. Mm-hmm. It says he just walked through the crowd. That would be impossible for me. I'd be like, no! Oh, man, I'm going over. I believe this. The reason I believe the Florida outpouring happened was because people were hungry. And you know what? It's not over. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what you've read. It's not over. What's the alternative? What's the alternative? People have got to come to the place, and I'm speaking to myself, I've done this, where you say, God, you put your presence on the inside of me, and I'm going to rely on that. I'm not going to hang on somebody else's ministry. I'm not going to hang on somebody else's coattails. That's why I tell you, before this thing broke out, my wife and I were already traveling for 3 years having extended meetings. You can go on our website and see all the cities. We took pictures at all the cities to document so that we would be held accountable to show that's really where we went. This is really what happened. This is really what took place. But it's because there's a fire on the inside of us. And even as I'm standing here today, I can feel God stirring it up on the inside of me. Roy, do you realize I've called you? And you tell my people, I've called them. The Bible says that all are called, but few are chosen. You know why I believe few are chosen? Because few choose to be chosen. It's a choice. You say, no, I just want it to be the sovereign hand of God. God's sovereign hand moved already. He wants you to step up to the plate and take the call that's on your life and move forward with it. And the naysayers will come. And the doubt and unbelief will come. But you must press through it. And realize that your life was not here just to occupy a seat. And to be honest with you, pastors of churches and those that are leaders, they don't want you sitting in the seat. They want you to move with what God's given you so that it will bless the body of Christ. You're no good just sitting there doing nothing. Really, you're not. You say, but I'm too old. I'm too young. Absolute rubbish. It's word number 5. Take your hands right now and put them on your belly. You know what Jesus said? He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I believe he said it just like that. Close your eyes for a minute. Put your hands on your belly. Come on, everybody now. Some people have to stretch. It's okay. I'm one of those people. Close your eyes. I want you to declare this over your life, okay? I am a carrier of the presence of God. Say it again. I am a carrier of the presence of God. God, everywhere I go, you go with me. Everything I say will be because I hear you say it. Everything I do will be because I see you do it. I am a carrier of the presence of God. Let your spirit eat that. Don't take your hands off your belly. It's funny to watch people do it through this. Some people are like, yes, right. Just put them on your belly. This is what He's given us. There's no longer an ark. You don't have to tie bells around you to go in and pray. You carry it wherever you go. You've been taught over the years that people are raised up in the environments they're raised up in, and that's why they become who they are. I tell you today the same thing that Jesus said. If you're a carrier of the presence of God, you can change the very environment that you are in. Simply by what you carry on the inside. The power of God. The Holy Spirit on the inside. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and you are no longer the same, because He that is within you is greater than he that is in the world, and there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. Am I the only one getting excited here for a minute? He has called you. He has anointed you. You don't have to be the ordinary. Put your hands on your bellies again. See, some of you take it off real quick because you're like, okay, that was fun. No, listen, there's something in this, man. This is what I experienced. I can't give you somebody else's experience. I can only give you what I've experienced. Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. I can't even quote it right. You know what he said. But what I have, I give to you. It's an awareness of who you are in Christ. You know the words you speak have power in them? Do you know there was a Japanese scientist back in the, I believe it was the late 70s or early 80s, who did a study on water. Water's an interesting thing. It's good, right? It quenches your thirst, right? Well, how many know that water is actually a living thing? Did anybody know that? Am I the only person in this place? Where did you learn that, Roy? Okay, well, I'm going to prove it to you. So, this Japanese scientist does a study on speaking at water and seeing what it does. So he takes a bottle of water. You can look it up. You can Google it. That's the century we live in. You can Google it. So he takes a bottle of water, pours it into one glass, pours it into another glass, takes this glass over here and locks it in a soundproof room. We'll call this the life room. Say life room. Okay, then he takes this glass of water and he puts it over here in this place called, we'll call it the death room. Very good. Thank you, class. There'll be an exam tomorrow. So he goes in, so they shut the door and they play music and speak like positive words to the thing of water. Now it sounds crazy, but they like play Mozart. They're like, you're good water. One day you'll be in ingredients all over the world. You know, I don't know what it says. And then over here, it's the death water. And they play like heavy metal music. And they played excerpts from the Holocaust, from Hitler's sermons that he preached from his pulpit and all this stuff. And they spoke to, I don't know, your toilet water! I mean, I don't know what they said to it, but they said something that was bad. Okay? Then they took a drop of water, the scientist, and he froze it on a little slide. And they put it under a microscope. And they did the same thing with this death water. And they froze it. And put it under a slide. And as they looked into it, when you looked at the death water, they had all this stuff spoken negative to it and all this loud music. And of course, some people are like, well, it's tone. Well, hello, that's what we're trying to prove. They look at it and all of a sudden you look as this thing is forming and freezing from all the death it's had spoken to it. Same bottle of water. It doesn't form into a crystal that's symmetrical. It's all mutated and it's dark gray. Then you come over to this nice life water that's frozen. They look at it under a slide, and when they look into it, it's the most pristine, crystal clear, symmetrical thing you've ever seen. Most beautiful, like a snowflake. And it proves that out of your mouth comes life and death. Jesus said the power of life and death is in what? The tongue. It doesn't even mean doing this or whatever you're going to do. It means the tongue. Now, how about this real quick? Hebrews have this thing about blood. You know how they have these symbols. I don't even understand it, okay? But in the Hebrew culture, they have these symbols that mean different things. Like one word means like 6 blocks long and 10 blocks high. And they got these little symbols. So for instance, if you had a picture of a fish, a picture of a hook, and a picture of an eyeball, it means whatever your eye is hooked to will multiply. That's the way they see things. And they have this thing that blood and water mixed means hope flows through suffering always. Just remember that real quick. I'm not teaching doctrine. I'm teaching something that I just found out about that really ministered to me. And this is totally going to blow your mind. And I think it's going to help you. And by the end of tonight, we're probably going to have to carry you out here. So, honest to God. So, anyways, hope flows through suffering. So, blood and water mixed together, hope flows through suffering. So, have you ever heard of the word Edom? Is that a private joke between us here? Can you help me out? Cheese. A cheese is called Edom. Lovely. Wow. Okay. Well, the word Dom, not Edom, it means blood. The word Edom means blood planet. No, I'm sorry. The word Edom means blood water. The word Dom means blood planet. And the word Adam means blood man. That's what I was going to say. It doesn't mean cheese. So now we got this hope flows through suffering thing, right? You're with me? When blood flows through water, hope flows through suffering. So there's this one place in the Bible where Moses comes to the Pharaoh and he says, "Let my people go." And he says, "No." Apparently he was from the UK too. It was an American film. Thank you. Charlton Heston's, "Let my people go. You shall see the hand of God." Yeah, so that was my Charlton Heston. Move on, Roy. I will. So, Moses says, "Let my people go, Pharaoh." Pharaoh says, "No." He says, "Great." And he holds out his staff, puts it in the water, and what happens? The water turns to blood. Now, to an Egyptian, they're freaking out. To a Hebrew, they're excited because they're saying, look, hope's flowing through suffering right now. Hope is coming. That's a sign. That's God's sign to us that our suffering's about to end. Hope is coming. Remember he said, put the blood over the door so you don't get killed? That was hope. Are you with me? All right, we're getting there together now. Okay. Now there's this other place where Moses goes out to Mount Sinai and he goes up to get the Ten Commandments. And while he does, what happens? Oh, everybody starts building this golden calf and starts bowing down to it and having all these parties and stuff. And he comes back down. Oh, I got to finish this up. He says to them, tear down the golden calf. Now stop there for a minute because I got to back up. There's another thing called pure gold in the earth today. Have you ever heard of it? Pure gold. Not 14 karat, 18, 24 karat, pure gold. Do you know what color it is? It's clear. It's translucent. It's extremely pliable. Okay. This is what I found out. It's so pliable that you could pound it down into a fine powder. And guess what happens? When you take one little particle of that pure gold and you throw it into 100,000 parts of water, it turns crimson red. That's interesting to me. So it brought up that scripture to me because I thought to myself, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and says, tear down that golden calf, pound it down into a fine powder, throw it in the water and drink it for the remission of your sins. Do you remember that? Why would you drink gold? I've heard of Goldschläger. There's a little gold in the bottom of it, you know. But why would you drink gold? This, first of all, Egyptians had all kinds of gold. They had the gold of the earth. Do you think they had pure gold? Absolutely. Then there's this other part. So now it turns red. Then there's this other place in the Bible where Jesus is hanging on the cross and they spear him in the side. Out comes what? Hope flowed through suffering. Now today, this scientist has proven you can speak to water. Do you know where the life is in your body? It's in the blood. Life is in the blood. We say that as a cliche, like life's in the blood of Jesus, but actually life is also in your blood. Because you've been made in the image of God, so what flows through your veins? It's crimson red blood. And you were created in the image of God. What also flows through your body? Water. You're 75% water. Which of man's heart is absolutely okay because God can change it. Why? Because hope is still flowing through your suffering. You can speak and change the actual molecular structure of somebody else's water. Why do you think when you're with somebody and they discourage you and they say something that's just absolutely foul and you walk away feeling bad? They changed your water. And on the other side, somebody speaks positive to you and encourages you and tells you that you're going to make it and that God is for you and not against you. You walk away feeling like 1,000,000 pounds. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's why out of your mouth speaks life and death. So no matter what happens, you've got to speak life over your body and you've got to speak life over everybody else and stop speaking life. Stop speaking negative words and discouragement and begin to encourage one another. That's one of the reasons we're here tonight. We're here to speak into your water and change the things that have been spoken over you. It's true. The power of God is in the Word. And when the Word is spoken, it does its work. And tonight, as the generation that you are right now, you've got to speak the Word. There were nights in the meetings that I was in, I would go home in my hotel room. I'd lay in bed and I would be like, God, why is there so much hurt and so much pain in the body of Christ? Why? And you know what he told me? He said, Roy, I never said that when you accepted me into your heart that your life would be easy. Some people say, when you get into the kingdom of God, everything's going to be just fine. Yeah, because you're in the hands of God. But your exterior flesh is going to experience some things that you'd wish you didn't have to go through. But see, that's what brings us all together. You know that? We go through it together. You raise your kids, the Holy Spirit's with you to do that. When you go to bed at night, and you're laying on your bed and you're crying because you don't want to live anymore, the Holy Spirit's right there. He's waiting for you to interact with Him. Unfortunately, everybody approaches God this way. In Jesus' name, Lord. Help! Sorry, in the UK. Help. We need to check our heart tonight. What are you really living for? What are you really on this earth for? Is it just to just take up some space on the earth? Why are you called? Why are you here? We all ask these questions every single day. People that are in ministry, people that are out of ministry, people that are looking to go into ministry. people that work on the factory line, people that work at normal jobs, people that have businesses. We all ask the question, why am I here? You know, some of the most miserable people are the people that are the most wealthy. Because they got all the money and they have nobody to share it with. They have nobody to bless anybody with. Ask yourself the question tonight. Am I serving God with every fiber of my being? There are other nights that I've left meetings and I said, is it worth it to keep on going, Melanie? Should we keep on going? My God, we're living out of our SUV in a trailer in the middle of America. People look at us and they make fun of us. We've been made fun of sometimes by other Americans. What are you going to do with your kids? Homeschool them. Well, how are you going to do that? We're going to teach them. How? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm prophetic. How are you going to clean up that scrape on your head? I don't have a scrape. We've had to endure some things. But I kept telling Melanie, and Melanie kept telling me, God has called us, we got to keep on moving, we got to keep on riding, we got to keep on telling everybody we can about Jesus and leave nobody out. No prisoners. Everybody must be set free in their heart. I'm not your average evangelist. I have long hair. I have a goatee. I have sideburns. People, you know, it's on YouTube now. They call me the king of the forest. No joke. I'm doing a meeting in Florida, and they did this little thing, and I'm going, some people have come up to me and say, I just feel the Lion of Judah all over you. And I just go, rawr. Just to, you know, to be funny. So they duped it, and they tripled up on it, and now it goes, rawr, rawr, rawr. And it's like, if I were king of the forest. You know why I have long hair? Because it's me. That's me. For 30 years I had short hair. For 30 years I wanted long hair, but I was trying to fit in everybody else's category. Why would God give Samson long hair and then say, okay, that doesn't work in the New Testament? Get off my hair for a second. You have to be who God's called you to be. And some of you in this place tonight, you're wanting to find out how far you can go with God. You can go as far as you want to. He's just wanting to wait on you for it. How many people in this place tonight, it's time to move on with God? You're done playing church. And you're done just trying to build a ministry. You must have the presence of God. I want you to check your heart tonight. Check your heart tonight. I told you in the beginning of this whole meeting tonight, and I don't even know the direction that we're going to go with the We Are the Generation UK tour. It's just something that God gave me to do it, and that's I don't even know what I'm doing. I go with what God's given me. But I keep hearing this in my spirit every single day, and I have to go with what I feel in the Spirit of God saying to me. And this is what I hear Him saying. In the last days, many will grow cold from the faith. In the last days, if I had not shortened the day, even the elect would fall away. That's what I hear in my spirit every single night, every single day. I'm not trying to hear it. It comes to me. I hear in Luke, in the last day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. Cast them in the lake of fire. And their reply will be, but Lord, I cast out demons and I prophesied and I had a ministry and I led worship all around the world and I did this and I did that. And they're sitting there trying to make their case before Jesus. And I begin to study that scripture and say, God, who is that person? Who is that person that you're saying depart from me? You know what the Lord spoke to me? You can think what you want to think. This is what God spoke to me. He said, Roy, that could be you. You give me your heart. You lift me up. Don't lift yourself up. You lift me up. Because that could be you. See, I never saw a sinner that prophesied. I've never seen a sinner that casts out other people's demons. Have you?
Have you ever gone to a bar and somebody's like, in the name of Jesus, says the Lord? They're not doing it. A bar, a pub. Sorry. Word number six. No. And last time I looked, I've never seen a sinner cast out a demon. So he's talking to those people that have one time had a relationship with God. Judas walked with Jesus. Judas walked with Jesus and still had the ability to hand him over to the Roman government. John the Baptist was standing on the River Jordan when Jesus came and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world." He was there when he baptized him. And he heard the voice that came from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Everybody else heard it too, and John the Baptist was there. And then just a few days later, John gets taken into captivity, and the next words that come out of his mouth is he the one or should we look for another? Not one person is exempt from this. And you know what? I'm not a hell and doom preacher. But I'll tell you something. You know what's coming back to the church? Holiness. You know what I do? I keep my wife close with me. I travel with my wife and kids everywhere I go, and I pay triple and quadruple because it's important that I have my family with me to be accountable to my family. And I don't want years to go by 20 years from now and my daughter says, "Wow, you know Jesus and you don't know me." You with me? So that's my heart, okay? But God feels the same about you. He wants you to know Him intimately. I can hear His cry from His heart. He is desperately crying out to people, stop making it about ministry. Stop making it about the next deal. Stop making it about how many crowds can you draw and how big can this thing get. Because all we ever do is build. And guess what? It's all coming down anyway. The only thing you're going to take to heaven is those that gave their heart to Jesus. Can you say amen in this place?
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
17, that's awesome. God has a plan for your life tonight. He really does. I don't have the show up here where I can do the signs and wonders and whew. I just simply live my life and people get healed around about me. Tonight there's people that need healing in their body. You'll receive your healing tonight because you'll draw upon the anointing from God. And He will touch you. But I want everybody in this place tonight, before I even move on, I want to bring my wife up here. I want to introduce you to her. Her name's Melanie. She is the love of my life. I'm not just putting a little notch on my belt so I get brownie points at the end of the day. And she's been with me every step of the way. Would you give her a great big God bless you?
God bless you. It's awesome to be here in the UK. And I just want to encourage you. I really believe that, you know, God has such an impact at our life in an amazing way. And is what can you give to other people except for what He's given to you? And all I can say is that when we were hungry for God and we came to the end of our rope, the most important thing that ever changed our lives was when we encountered the fire of God. And it did such a transforming work that began to actually to come and burn and pull out of us things that weren't meant to be there, things that were of self, things that were flesh, and begin to pour into us an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I know, you know, we all hunger for the signs and wonders. We all hunger for the miraculous. We all hunger for the things of the Holy Spirit. And that's awesome. But we can't hunger for that without hungering for God first. We have to cry out after the Holy Spirit. We have to have a desire. It's okay to want to see miracles to glorify God, but not to see miracles to glorify self. And if we can do anything tonight, all we can say is, God, let us impart to them the same fire and the same hunger that You've dropped into us. Let us pour out upon them hunger and a whole anointing to hunger. hunger after the Holy Spirit. Because you can get fire in your life and then lose it. And then you can get fire and then lose it. And you go on this constant process of having to go back to a meeting to get prayed for so you can get fire again. So if we can do anything is we can impart to you a hunger and a desperation to go after God that will not cease, so the fire will not go out. If you can hunger after God with all your heart, if you can press into Him and pay the price, and no matter what it takes, say, I'm going to press into God and I'm going to get something from God no matter what the price, and I'm willing to pay the price. And I'll tell you, by the Spirit of God, there's many of you that have been called to shake regions and shake nations, but you've been a little bit afraid to pay the price. And tonight, if you begin to hunger after God, that price that seemed so hard to you before will seem so insignificant. It'll seem so little. Because you know what? When we saw all that we had and we got a small taste of the presence of God, all that stuff looked so unimportant. None of that stuff mattered. We didn't care about any of that stuff. We didn't care about houses. We didn't care about our nice furniture. We didn't care about, you know, applause on our back. When you get an encounter with God, you can settle for nothing less but His presence. And you know what? We talk about revival in America, and I know it has a bad name sometimes. I know revival's not always all it's cracked up to be. We've gone to a lot of meetings, and they've told us, hey, revival's here, and we walk in, and we want to leave 5 minutes after we get there. Okay? So I understand that. But there is a cry in the heart of the Father that He says, will there rise up a generation that will stand true for Me, that will press into Me regardless of what's happening around them, that will say to Me, I'll pay the price to change my generation. Will we cry out for God, and will we hasten His coming? Will we hasten His coming by bringing a fresh move, a fresh revival to our area? Revival, I say, transform your country. Transform your cities. Get a heart cry for the lost. Get a transforming in your heart for the lost. Because if you can get that cry, God will do a work with you that'll outdo anything that's ever been done before. Not because of you, but because of God. So we don't come to give this big show or anything like that. We come to say, you know what? When God did a work in us, He dealt with our hearts. So we know if we come and we talk to you about the heart, and we talk to you about the issues of your heart, and we talk to you about religion, and we talk to you about things that are not been dealt with, sin issues. We talk to you about focusing on the ministry, focusing on the things that aren't about God. If we can talk to you about that and get that out of your life, you won't come back for the fire over and over again. You'll keep it. You will keep the fire. 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 And England will be set ablaze with the fire of God. And no more will they talk about George Whitefield. They will talk about a generation that changed the course of England and changed Parliament because you got on fire for God. Because you got on fire for God. And I know also here by the Spirit that there may be a couple ministers that came here and you're feeling a little burnt out. And you're feeling a little at the end of your rope. And you go on day to day because you know you have to, and you feel wrong to give up the call. And God this day would reignite you. He would reignite you. Do you know how? By saying, God, I give up everything that was before and I lay it down at your feet. And anything that's not of you, I ask you, I give you permission to take it out. I tell you what, it's a dangerous thing to call down the fire of God, but if you call it down, you may be stripped of everything that you know, but you'll go to another level in the things of God, and the glory of God will come into your life. Be bold enough tonight to call down the fire of God in your life. Be bold enough. I did it just a couple weeks ago. I did it again in fear and trembling, but I'll do it over and over again because I will not be like many that I've seen before me who have got a touch from God, and then later on in their lives, they still minister without the anointing. They still minister without the presence of God, or they minister living a double life. I will not be that way, so I will call down the fire of God time and time and time again. We can do nothing without His presence. We do nothing without the fire. Just right now, if you guys just want to just let the Holy Spirit just come right now. I don't know where you are in your lives. I don't know what's going on in your lives. But Holy Spirit, I just ask for your move to come through this place right now. I just ask for the spirit of revival to begin to touch each and every one right now. And it starts with getting our hearts right. It starts with a fresh, purifying touch and a sanctity that comes in. We just praise you right now, Lord. We just praise you.
Thank you, Lord. I want everybody in this place to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around tonight. Stay up here, babe. We didn't come here, like she said, to do a show or tell you that we got our next ministry here and let's do this and let's do that. We came here because we care about people. We love people. Jesus loves people. And tonight, I'm more concerned about your soul than I am anything else. And I'm speaking of if you're a Christian. Because the majority of people have answered altar calls. The majority of people have been to church and they know who Jesus is. The devil knows who Jesus is. That doesn't get you into heaven. It should never be an attitude of, I want to get into heaven. It should be an attitude of, I'm in love with Jesus. And heaven is the reward. And so tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. That's extremely serious today, more than ever before. If you were to lose your life tonight, and I mean your life was to breathe its last breath tonight, could you say beyond a shadow of a doubt in your heart of hearts that you would spend eternity in Jesus with Jesus Christ? If you can't answer that question, I want to pray with you right now. We've been asking this question all over the world. If that's you tonight, nobody looking around, would you lift your hand and say, Roy, I don't really honestly know in my heart if I would go to heaven if I lost my life tonight. Lift your hand up if you would, and I will pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Even if you're a Christian, you might not know even the answer to that. Lift your hands if that's you here tonight. Thank you. I see hands up all over the place. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And I want to ask other people a question. Maybe you've accepted Jesus into your heart, but now you've grown cold from the faith. You're not stirred up anymore. You live a totally different life than what you show in church when you walk in and you smile and you greet each other and you say, God bless you, brother, love you. But that's really not what your heart is, because you're far from it. You're far from God. You're far from believing in Him. You're far from actually acknowledging that He's working anything out in your life. Tonight, that could be you in this room tonight. Would you lift your hand, nobody looking around, and say, Roy, would you pray for me? Because tonight can change everything. Lift your hands right now if that's you tonight. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else in this room? Thank you. Thank you. And then my final question is, maybe you've got your foot in both worlds. You've been to every altar call known to man. You've been to every conference and you've learned how to speak in tongues and you've learned how to cast out demons and you've learned how to prophesy. But your heart is far from God tonight. And you're living a double life. You're living in both worlds and you've lost the fire. And you want it again, and tonight you're saying, you know what? This is my last resort. This is my last chance to press into God. Tonight I'm getting the fire of God. Tonight I'm being touched by His presence. If that's you tonight, lift your hand right now and I want to pray for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? If you would, brother, at the soundboard, put number 5 on In the Presence of Angels. I want to invite everyone that answered those 3 altar calls. If you were to die, you don't know God. If you were to give your life to the Lord tonight, I want you to come down to this altar right now. Come quickly. I want to pray for you. Those that lifted up your hands, come on down to the altar. Please come quickly. We won't be long. Only those that answer the altar call I want to pray for tonight. Just line right up here, and if the ushers will come, I want to pray for you. Tonight can change everything in your life. You do not have to leave here the same as you came in here tonight.